It's always encouraging to think about the songs that we sing to God and the meaning that they have, and to be able to look into God's Word and connect the dots to put the two together. And I appreciate the input that you have on that, that you participate by blending your voices together and singing. As I have said each time that we've done this, what a good job that our song leaders do. And they need to be commended for the willingness to do this and the work that they put into it as well. One of the tasks that the church has is that of evangelism. People are not going to obey what they don't know. You agree with that? We can't obey what we simply do not know. And so we see the importance of being taught. That's no excuse. We know that we have to be seeking for the truth and a desire to learn the truth. But we surely can see the importance of teaching others what this book has to say. The first thing that I want you to think about as far as our sermon and song goes tonight is the idea of that gospel message call. We often sing about Zion's call. We're getting ready to turn to that and sing in just a moment. By the way, here's the hymns for tonight. And so you need to be turning to these so you can be ready to sing them in a moment's notice. In the book of Isaiah, if you'll turn to that book with me, Isaiah chapter 2. It's a passage that you are familiar with. We've talked about before and we've studied it. Isaiah chapter 2, and let's begin with verse 1. The Bible says, "A word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And He will teach us of His ways, and we will walk in His paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." When you go over to the book of Luke chapter 24, as Jesus was with the disciples, the apostles, before He ascended back to heaven, He said to them in Luke 24 and then verse 47, "And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." And in the book of Acts chapter 1, He told the apostles to tarry at the city of Jerusalem until they be endued with power from on high. And so in Acts chapter 2, opens up. They're in the city of Jerusalem. The day of Pentecost has come, and Peter proclaims the gospel message. It's the same message in which we ring out today, which we teach individuals. By the way, the Bible says that we are called by the gospel, right? Come with me to the book of 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14, "Whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." There's folks today who believe that the message has changed. I know that firsthand. I recently talked to an individual who's been following along on the TV broadcast, and he told me that the message of Acts 2 is not the message that we are to proclaim today. I differ with that. You? It's the same message, Zion's call. Acts chapter 2, verses 14 through 39. He talked to them about the resurrected Savior and that it was through Him that men could have their sins forgiven. So let's blend our voices together and sing together about Zion's call.
Zion's call, sweetly ring.
book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and in verse 4, Paul made mention there that they were entrusted with the gospel. He says, "But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts." We don't seek to please men, right? We hope that folks will come along and do what the Bible says and live faithfully according to the precepts of God and die in a right relationship with God and go to heaven when life is over. But not everyone has gone like Zion's call. It's going to upset some folks along the way. There was people who in the Bible received it gladly, and there were individuals who did not receive it gladly. But as Paul and the apostles were entrusted with the message of the gospel, we have a responsibility. We just sang about Zion's call. We're getting ready to sing 616 into our hands. We have a responsibility to teach the gospel to a lost and dying world. Paul said in Romans 1 verse 15 that he was ready to preach the gospel to those that were at Rome. Then he said in verse 16 that he was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. In verse 17, he said, "For therein is a righteousness of God," that means in the gospel. "For therein is a righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." I ask you tonight, what are you doing with what's been entrusted to you? The Word has been revealed. We don't have to wonder about what God would have us to be doing, wondering about what God would have us to be obeying and teaching to others. We have it revealed and contained in the Bible. He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. The question is, what are we doing with that which has been given into our hands? Let's sing together about it.
Yeah.
Psalm 90, verse 9, 10, and 12 came to my mind as we were singing that hymn. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath, we spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years and 10, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Verse 12, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. How serious are you about ringing out the gospel message? We've sang about Zion's call. We've sang about the fact that it is into our hands that it's given. And we have this message of truth, this message of hope that everyone needs to hear. How serious are we about ringing out that message? I know that we are serious about it. Because as we lay by in store every first day of the week, a portion of that money goes toward evangelism. Right? You have a full-time preacher. You have a TV program that's 30 minutes long and they run multiple times a day, usually every day of the week, I'm told. You have a 30-minute radio program that airs every week, a 15-minute radio program, a teaching bulletin that's published, put out, printed every Lord's Day, tracts that are distributed. So I know that we're serious about getting that message out in this community. Flyers for Friday night singing, June the 1st. Flyers for our gospel meeting next week, which is all about edifying the saints and teaching the gospel to a lost and dying world. It was our Lord who commissioned the apostles to go forth with a saving message. In Matthew 28, verses 18 and 19, Jesus said, all power has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Some versions say age. In Mark 16:15, a parallel to Mark 28. Go, preach the gospel to every creature. Right? And we've observed several times how that the apostles did that as they went forth and proclaimed the gospel in obedience to the Lord's command. Mark 16, verse 20. Paul would write to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:2 and say, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same, remember what he said to do with them? The same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others. Also, every opportunity that we get ought to be spent on ringing out the message. You agree with that? Then let's see if our singing indicates that we're on the same page. Ring out the message.
There's a message truly glad for the simple and the sad. See you next to where from Jesus.
You know, our theme is on evangelism, proclaiming the gospel of Christ to a lost and dying world. Just any old message won't cut it, right? We've got to teach the gospel. We've got to teach the truth. If individuals are going to obey it, become Christians, and go to heaven when life is over. You know, it's been planting time for a little while now. I guess it's not too late to put some soil out into the ground. Many of you are busy about doing that. You enjoy that type of thing. And you like watching it grow. You know, the truth is if you leave that seed in the bag or if you leave it in the barn and you don't put it in the soil, it's not going to profit anything, is it? You're not going to get a harvest except what? You put it in the soil. In the book of Haggai, chapter 2, verse 19, there's a question that is asked by the prophet of long ago. Is there seed yet in the barn? The problem is sometimes individuals leave the seed in the barn instead of planting it into the hearts and minds of honest and good people. And if we want the church to grow and we want the borders of the kingdom to grow, then we're going to have to be sowers. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 13, verse 3, "Behold, a sower went forth to sow." And so we've got to put that seed into the ground. The seed of the kingdom is the Word of God. It's identified by the Lord in Luke 8, 11. And again, we've got to be busy about doing that if we're going to spread the message to those around us. We're going to have to look for opportunities to plant that seed into the hearts and minds of people who will obey it. Whether it's a Bible study, gospel meeting, tract, invitation, whatever the case may be, to put something into their hands, to introduce them to what this book says, in the hopes that they'll hear, believe it, and obey it. Are we sowing? To what extent are we sowing? You know, the apostles were accused of, you have filled Jerusalem with this doctrine. Remember that? You've turned the world upside down. Are we filling this area with the doctrine of Christ? Are we? Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom? Let's sing together about it.
Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom?
If I were to ask you what the purpose of the Lord was, what would you say to me? The Bible is just chock full of references that talk about what the purpose of Jesus Christ was all about. We understand that we were lost and separated from God. Man was as a result of their sin. God created man upright in His image, Genesis 1 and 2. Gave them commands, gave them boundaries, if you will. And they failed to obey God, right? And fell from a right relationship with God, as recorded in Genesis, the 3rd chapter. But from long ago, even before the foundation of the world, God had a purpose in mind. How that man would be reconciled unto Him. I know it was in His eternal purpose because that's what Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. Sin does today what it has always done, as I've stated numerous times, and that is to separate individuals from God, Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. It brings forth death, James talks about in James chapter 1. The wages of sin is death, Romans chapter 6, verse 23. But Jesus came to provide a way, make provision for our salvation. It was read in observance of the Lord's Supper this morning from the book of Matthew chapter 26 through 28. When Jesus talked about His body and His blood, and He talked about how that His blood was shed for the remission of sins. Remember that? Tasted death for every man. Hebrews 2, 9. Without the shedding of blood there is no remission. Hebrews 9, verse 22. It was announced, "Behold, thou shalt bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. A lot of other references talk about the purpose of Jesus. Jesus Himself said, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." Luke 19, verse 10. That was His message. That was His mission. Was to seek and to save that which was lost. As we talk about evangelism, as we sing about evangelism, as we talk about the importance of it, as we talk about sowing the seed of the kingdom, as we talk about Zion's call and ringing out the message and into our hands, how busy are we seeking those who are lost? To seek them out, to share with them the gospel of Christ. How are we doing on that? Let's sing together about seeking the lost. 520.
Seeking the lost is honey.
In John chapter 1, as was pointed out in the Bible study this morning, the Bible talks about the Word. How that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. You ever tried to walk in darkness before? Perhaps the electricity goes out, or it's dark outside, and you go out at night and you don't have sufficient light, or you're caught in a particular place in which you don't have light. It's hard to get around, right? Think about that. The world sat in darkness, and then the light came into the world to light the way of man. Not physically. God made the sun for that purpose. But spiritually. It's so sad that He came into His own, as stated in John chapter 1, and yet His own did not receive Him. But verse 12, the Bible says, as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. I'm thankful for the light. Are you? In Psalm 119, 104, and 105, through Thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In Psalm 119, verse 130, talking about gifts, understanding, light. We just had the Scripture reading, read from Psalm 119, verse 50, how that His Word quickens. And so we need to be thankful for the light that God sent into the world. Without Jesus, there's not a one of us that could be saved. I think about passages like Acts chapter 4 and then verse 12 when the Bible says, for neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Through Jesus was preached the remission of sins. Folks, we cannot, as I've stated in the past, be content to be keepers of the aquarium. We need to be fishers of men. You agree with that? That means we've got to get up out of our comfort zone, get up off the seats that are comfortable, and take the gospel message. That's what this whole sermon song's been about to the world. Teach them the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. Let's sing together about it.
Look at the first, second, and last verse. 544. Let's sing.
There's a call come ringing o'er the restless waves in the light, in the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save, in the light, in the light, in the light. And let the gospel light, let it shine. Shine, 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 shine.
Colossians, he talks about in chapter 1, verse 13, that God hath translated us, or delivered us rather, from the power of darkness, translated us in the kingdom of His dear Son. As you take inventory of your life, and I take inventory of mine, how hard have I been working? You got to answer that for yourself. How hard have you been working? There's still a lot of work to be done. There is much to do, right? And again, the question keeps coming up, are we going to do that? We know that there's work to be done. We know that there's never going to be a time when there is no work in the vineyard of the Lord that needs to be done so long as our earthly pilgrimage is going. As long as men have souls, they're going to need to hear the gospel message, right? So how hard are we working? How long are we going to work? This next song indicates that we'll work till Jesus comes. Then we're going to close our song of invitation, 504. Is on, I want to be a worker for the Lord. You know, I can sing a lie as easy as I can tell one. Now, if I sing that I'll work until Jesus comes, I better mean that or else not sing it. Now, I suspect after making that comment that the singing is either going to be soft this next song or it's going to be loud. And I hope that it's going to be loud as it indicates that we are telling the truth when we say that we will work until Jesus comes. I'm anxious to see what the way it's going to go. In Revelation chapter 14, we often talk about Hebrews chapter 4 verse 9 when he talks about there remaineth therefore a rest unto the people of God. In Revelation chapter 14 verse 13, I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. I recall as I was in the company of a particular preacher one time, and he was asked, when are you going to retire? He said, my retirement is up there. Do you feel the same way? Are we going to work until Jesus comes again? I think about Matthew chapter 11, 28 through 30. You can read that in your own time. One of the greatest Bible invitations. In fact, one of our themes, our sermon and song themes, is going to be all about invitation hymns. I think about that invitation. Come unto me. It talks about rest. You'll find rest unto your souls. Are we working? Are we going to continue to work? For how long are we going to work, and how hard are we going to be at doing it? Let's sing together. We'll work till Jesus comes.
Oh, land of rest for thee. Yeah.
sounded loud from up here. As we finish up this month's sermon and song, our song of invitation has to do with, I want to be a worker. In Matthew 9, verses 37 and 38, Jesus talked about that the harvest is plenteous. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers into the harvest. We just sing about there is work, or will work till Jesus comes. You think about the harvest. You think about the souls about us. How many people do you come in contact with week in and week out? Think about that. How many people do you have occasion just to drop a leaflet in their hand? And I ask myself, it starts with me. Everything I say, I start with myself. How many times do we come into contact with people, maybe can give them an invitation? We have those cards printed up about the Mill Street Church of Christ, a friendly, growing church with a vital message. Life is brief. Death is certain. There's a reality of a judgment to come. Come so that you might learn how you might be ready. Those cards are out in the foyer. I encourage you to pick those up when you're busy about in the work week and you go through a restaurant maybe to get lunch or whatever the case may be. And you pay for your food, give them an invitation. You're out at a restaurant, give one to your waiter or waitress. Leave one on the table. Leave one somewhere, anywhere you can put one. And encourage individuals. You want to be a worker for the Lord? That's who we're working for. You don't work for me, right? I don't work for you. It doesn't go this way with one another. It goes this way. We work with one another. I know that's the case from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Come to that passage with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, rather. I think I just said chapter 1, but 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul addresses this idea of laboring together. He says in verse 6, I've planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Now watch verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. That's why I can say and know that the Bible supports me in saying that. That we labor together with one another and we work for God. And so whether I plant and you water, or you plant and I water, we're in it together and we trust in God to give us the increase as He sees fit. Again, do you want to be a worker in the kingdom of our Lord? I want to suggest to you as we close this sermon, that you being a worker in the vineyard of the Lord starts with you obeying the gospel of Christ. You may be busy about doing things, but if you're not in a right relationship with God, having obeyed the gospel of Christ, if you're not in Christ, those things are to no avail. I say that kindly but firmly. It'll do us no good come the judgment day. Though we may be busy doing things that we read about in the book of books, if we're not a Christian, it's going to profit us nothing. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:27, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I preach to others, I myself would be a castaway. Right? Then I think about 1 Corinthians 15:58. How that he said, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Evangelism is hard work. You agree with that? It's hard work. It's hard work to study. Ask these men that participate in teaching these classes and teaching the gospel. These ladies that are teaching these kids classes. Ask them if there's hard work in studying the Word of God. If they say no, I don't think they will. But if they say no, it might be an indication for further study. But it is hard work. If you want to be a worker for the Lord, I hope you do. That we can rest from our labors when our earthly pilgrimage is over. But again, it begins with you obeying the gospel of Christ. And heard the gospel, Believe it, repent of your sins, confess your faith in Christ that He's the Son of God, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Maybe you have done that, but you've fallen away, you've not been faithful as you should, and you want to be restored. You need to repent of those things. Make confession unto God. We'll pray with you and for you. Come right now.
I want to be a worker for the Lord.